Screen Australia, Unicorn Films, and Deluxe Heartbeat Fund present a Unicorn Films in Common Room production. On a residential street lined with towering palm trees, an older woman with frizzy strawberry blonde hair grips the steering wheel as she drives along.
For thousands of years, the Jewish people have been bullied, enslaved, expelled, and exterminated.
She stares unblinking at the road ahead.
So, when people say things, whether they be Nazis or Muslims or the Jew hater down the street, if they say, "We're gonna kill every Jew," I believe that's what they're gonna try to do.
A still photo shows a man with a headband reading, "Kill Jews."
Jews must stand up and be militant.
Damn it, get a gun and learn how to protect yourself.
If you don't, you are a sitting duck.
A shot appears of a yarmulke-wearing boy facing white power graffiti, then of swastikas defacing gravestones. A pistol rises into view.
I believe violence has to be met with violence.
At a shooting range, the woman aims. A hole appears in the forehead of her cardboard target. White text appears. Mother with a gun. Life in the Jewish Defense League. A sign reads Rue Ferdinand Duval above a bustling street filled with pedestrians wearing winter coats. Text appears, Paris, Jewish Quarter. Text reads USA Today, 4 killed at Paris grocery store, all Jewish. Over a photo of a man with a gun to his head, text reads The New York Times, torture and death of Jew deepens fears in France.
Toute la communauté juive a été
Subtitles appear. The whole Jewish community was shocked. Still during the 21st century, Jews are killed just for being Jewish. The New York Times, 3 shot dead at Brussels Jewish Museum. So we decided to respond. Men in ski masks climb down a flight of stairs. A TV report on anti-Semitism featured an anti-Semitic writer who was allowed to say openly on television that Jews must ask themselves why they are so hated. A clip of the writer, Jews should ask themselves, maybe we're the problem. It's not automatically the other's fault if nobody can stand your stench wherever you go. 1 week after this report, he did a signing for one of his books in a bookstore. People line up to get their books signed, then later flee in panic. We attacked that bookstore. There were about 30 of us masked, armed with iron bats. We hit everything that moved. Text appears over masked faces. Jewish Defense League, France.
Can you explain to me why you should respond to today's anti-Semitism and not the police?
The police cannot respond violently, but we can. The men head out into the dark night, one wrapped in the Israeli flag. Figures run through the streets carrying chairs, fights break out in the crowd, and a body slumps to the ground.
I'm a bit conflicted here.
The woman with frizzy hair squints.
Shelley, I know the Jewish Defense League has been labeled a terrorist organization, but when you see what the French JDL are doing today, like in that bookstore, I mean, what do you think about that?
I don't think that that's the worst thing that they could do. If some anti-Semite gets a fist in the eye, that's not terrorism. That's just payback.
Later, Shelley works at her computer while the TV plays.
Fox News can now confirm what prompted a terror threat like we have not seen in years. An American intelligence source tells Fox concerns resulted from intercepted communications between the leader of Al-Qaeda and
Text appears. Shelley Rubin, President, Jewish Defense League, United States.
Analysis of the exchange has indicated the possibility of one of the worst plots against American interests since 9/11.
I'm a product of the generation right after the Holocaust. When I was young, I didn't realize what 6 million meant.
Photos show the bodies of dead concentration camp victims lined up into the distance.
But I did see these people wearing black and white stripes, like they had done something wrong. My parents said, that will not happen to you. That won't happen in America.
A picture shows teenage Shelley smiling.
My family were more like gastronomic Jews. Bagels and cream cheese and lox, that was being Jewish.
Home movies show her frolicking by a pool with her family.
By living here in Arcadia, we were a stone's throw from the Nazi Party headquarters.
A shot reveals young men wearing Nazi uniforms.
We couldn't believe that they were still here. And I remember when I was in my Jewish youth group, we just grabbed bottles and just throw it. And I wasn't the bravest because I don't think I threw a bottle when anyone was out there.
A man wearing a swastika armband is identified as George Lincoln Rockwell, founder American Nazi Party.
You see, this is the thing. To see somebody who puts on a swastika after what the Nazis did, I think they're even worse because they're honoring murderers. I only wish that they suffer like the people they made suffer.
Men wearing swastikas posture before Nazi flags.
There was a big demonstration in front of the Nazi headquarters that JDL had organized.
Subtitles read, "Kill Nazis Now." Photos show demonstrators with their arms behind their backs wearing protective helmets.
And my parents said, no, you cannot go.
A light-haired man and brunette woman gaze out from an old photo.
My parents led a low profile. And their daughter didn't.
Teen Shelley stares defiantly.
Why were they concerned?
They were just concerned in a little bit of violence.
An ad asks, is this any way for nice Jewish boys to behave?
But our Bible says, when one comes to slay you, you rise up early and slay him first.
Text over the ad reads, Jewish Defense League recruitment ad, 1968.
How did you first hear about the JDL?
I think it was 1971 or 72, so I was still in high school. And there was a story on this rabbi in New York by the name of Meir Kahana, who started this organization called the Jewish Defense League.
Now to the United States, where we visit a young people's summer camp with a difference.
JDL Youth Camp 1971.
The camp's run by the Jewish Defense League. Their aim is quite simply to turn out a new breed of young Jews prepared to meet anti-Semitism with violence.
Barzel means changing the image of the Jew. We have a certain image. A Jew's a weak. You push a Jew around and he backs away. And in many, many cases, it's a true image. To raise a hand against any human being is a bad thing. It's only when it's absolutely necessary in self-defense that it should ever be used. But if it is necessary, then you'd better learn to be better at it than anybody else.
Text appears, Rabbi Meir Kahana, founder, Jewish Defense League.
I think a lot of children of Holocaust survivors understood why there had to be a JDL.
Campers drill martial arts and practice shooting targets.
These were brave Jews who didn't take any crap from anyone else.
If we had guns like this, Adolf Hitler, 35, 40 years ago, would have been killed with this gun. 6 million of our brethren would have been saved.
Kill!
I thought it was wonderful.
Kill!
It made me proud. It made me feel safer.
Alan Dershowitz, civil rights lawyer.
I heard about the Jewish Defense League probably the week it was established. I mean, it was my people. My neighborhood. Growing up, I knew Meir Kahana. He was on the debating team at Brooklyn Talmudical Academy 4 years before I was on the debating team. Our family goes back a long time. The JDL was as much a part of my growing up as the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Text reads, JDL Celebration Brooklyn, over shots of Kahana and other men dancing.
What was going on in 1968 to inspire the formation of the JDL? Why not 1948 or 1938?
JDL started in 1968 because that's when Meir Kahana came of age.
Photos show Kahana's heavy-browed face emoting.
A moment of cataclysmic protests, the death of Martin Luther King, the death of Robert Kennedy. 1968 was a pivotal moment in American history. It was a time when silence was not an option.
Now, police shoot at a building. Black Panthers salute. Kahana holds a fist in the air, and buildings burn.
For Meir Kahane, his focus was very precise. He cared only about Jews. He didn't care what kind of Jews they were. As long as they were Jews, that was the focus of his attention.
I want every Jew a 22. I want every Jew who knows how to use it. It's legal to have a 22. Don't be afraid of it. Be afraid not to have one.
There were some Jews that thought the police weren't doing a good enough job of protecting elderly Jews and vulnerable Jews, and they thought they needed to establish a kind of vigilante justice. Now, vigilante justice was a big thing in New York in those days.
Fern Sidman, former JDL leader in New York.
This was the late 60s, early 70s, when there were gangs, there were people who were really making life difficult for Jews. Unfortunately, at the time, getting police help was not that effective, and Rabbi Kahane began to form street patrols.
JDL patrols go out almost nightly. Fears of the elderly Jewish residents are real. A synagogue has been firebombed, a rabbi beaten. JDL denies that its philosophy is an eye for an eye. It is two eyes for an eye, they say. And the neighborhood knows that they mean it. Since they have gone on patrol, the incidence of crime has gone down.
We need a legion of people to answer the anti-Semite in the only language he understands, to show that Jews do have power, we're not wimps, we're not the perennial victim.
Still show protesters sitting in the middle of an avenue, surrounded by cops, then taken into police vans.
Rabbi Kahane took the Jew and he gave them identity and pride. Said, it's great to be a Jew. You don't have to be embarrassed about being a Jew. You don't have to hide the fact. You don't have to change your surname. And beyond that, they gave him a cause to fight for.
Suspend all talks with the Soviet Union until Soviet Jews are free.
Crowds cheer the rabbi.
So, Shelley, what was going on with Jews in Russia in the 1970s?
We just knew that they didn't have the freedom that we had. Synagogues could not operate freely and in the open. The Russian Jews were getting arrested. What is their crime? They wanted to emigrate to Israel. That was their big crime.
1, 2, 3, 4, open up the iron door. Protesters in striped shirts march carrying fake prison bars. 5, 6, 7, 8, let my people emigrate.
And if not now, when? If not now, when the crisis for Jews is beginning, then when? Must Jews always wait until the Holocaust is upon them to suddenly realize that they must fight back?
As a Jew, I felt obligated to help these people. How could I turn my back on them the way that people turned their back on the European Jews during the Holocaust? I couldn't let that happen. I got my BBG chapter to stand up for Soviet Jewry. That was how we responded. JDL responded a little more militantly and put the issue on the front page. It was brilliant.
A headline reads, Jew pours blood on Soviet envoy.
You know, throughout the Holocaust, most articles were buried in the back pages of the New York Times where no one saw it, no one cared about it, and no one did anything about it. How do you get attention? By getting a story on page one. And sometimes violence, sometimes militancy, sometimes dramatic action is the only way to do that.
Photos show a man teaching young women how to use rifles.
My first assignment was as a deep undercover infiltrating the Jewish Defense League.
I was the firearms instructor at the camp.
Richard Rosenthal, NYPD undercover.
The parents were, of course, aware that the JDL had a certain philosophy, and I'm sure they were aware that their kids were receiving training in the use of firearms and karate and such, and that's fine. They had not a clue that we were in the process of making bombs as well.
Over footage of shattered glass, text appears, Russian Aeroflot office bombing, New York, 1970. Russian embassy bombing, Washington, D.C., 1971. Russian consulate bombing, New York, 1972.
Rabbi, was the bombing conducted by members of the Jewish Defense League?
I say that the Jewish Defense League as such had no part in that bombing.
Rabbi,
do you condemn or condone the act?
We applaud the action.
Text appears, George Bush Sr., U.S. Ambassador to U.N., 1971-73.
This kind of outrageous, barbaric act helps no cause. and damages international relations.
Police surveyed the damage.
To me, they were little firecrackers set off to make a point. It wasn't terrorism. It wasn't to...
Shelley lifts her hands.
Put fear in the hearts. It was just saying, come on, you damn communist bastards, let our people go.
Graffiti says, let my people go. Alan Dershowitz peers out from his wire-rimmed glasses.
Kahane's strongest argument is that it took violence to put the situation of Jews on the front page. I heard the same argument from the Black Panthers. I heard the same argument from radical Muslims. And to hear it from Mark Kahane, to hear it from the Jewish Defense League, is disturbing, even if there is a kernel of truth to it.
Text appears. Russian cultural events office bombing, New York City, 1972.
There were approximately 7 people injured through suffocation. There was one possible dead.
Headlines read, City Riots Grim Bombing Boom, and Bomb Fires Kill One.
Their intent was not to cause any death or injury, just to cause disruption. But instead of putting a few ounces of a smoke bomb in a package, they put pounds of the material in a package. And the consequences were lethal.
An article is titled, Never Again, Isn't This About Enough?
To turn the other cheek is indeed in the Bible, but it's not in the Jewish Bible. Sometimes justice takes precedence over peace.
A photo shows a man holding his clenched fist out in a striking pose.
We feel that if you do the wrong thing, you have to pay the consequences.
So Shelley, as a teenager reading articles linking the JDL to bombings and death, did this change how you felt about the JDL? Did it bother you?
She looks to the side.
Did it bother me? No, I don't think it did.
She looks away again, blinking.
I liked that Jews were on the giving end, not receiving the violence.
Back at the gun range, Shelley slides a loaded magazine into her pistol. She lifts her weathered face to gaze at the target. FBI memos list Kahane and the JDL in their subject lines.
The JDL was causing a serious conflict between the United States and the Soviet Union. Nixon was not happy.
Over a shot of Nixon and Bush Sr., text reads, Nixon tapes, 1972. Subtitles, well, mostly the Militant Jewish Defense League, that Mayor Kahane thing. Yeah, I know. Will they do anything violent, though? He would. He's bad. We've checked it seriously, and he is bad. And they had some plots, Mr. President, that were just unbelievable that the FBI aborted.
The NYPD had a very solid case against the JDL when I surfaced. Unfortunately, the Nixon administration rather arrogantly decided that they needn't obey the Constitution. They had the Federal Bureau of Investigation wiretap the JDL using the pretext of national security. No court ever bought it, and every case that went to trial was lost.
Rosenthal shakes his head. Pictures show Kahane being victoriously held up on his companion's shoulders outside a courthouse, Brooklyn Courthouse, 1975.
It was the first big case of my career, and I'm not going to say that nothing has lived up to it ever since. I've had a lot of big cases since, but probably in many ways my favorite case.
Another shot shows the rabbi grinning triumphantly.
We established very important precedents about the limits of wiretapping, precedents that apply to this day. I didn't like my clients. I often don't like my clients. But constitutionally, we were on the right side. Legally, we were on the right side.
Now Kahane addresses the crowd. Don't come here and shake my hand and say, good job. I don't want you to shake my hand. I want you to join the JDL. Over a shot of Shelley aiming a rifle, text reads, Los Angeles, 1978.
When I joined the JDL, my uncle said, what the hell are you doing? You know? And I said, oh, Uncle Art, I'm going to be fine. My uncle was just afraid, you know. It's that if you're too visible and too loud, that you bring too much attention on yourself and it will be dangerous for you and your family.
Was he right?
She shrugs. Shelley's brow furrows as she gazes off into the distance, her eyes glistening and her lips tight. Home movies show young Shelley in a bathing suit dancing by a pool and posing flamboyantly with her arms outstretched, then mouthing, "I love you," and pointing to the camera. Images show broken headstones with Jewish stars on them. Text appears, Los Angeles, 1980.
A half dozen members of the Jewish Defense League came this morning to guard Mount Carmel against further vandalism. They came armed.
Isn't this kind of an overreaction to this
overreaction?
Whole thing?
Overreaction? Just wait until we catch the people who did this, and we'll show you the proper reaction. We'll bust their heads, and we're not going to call the police. If the law happens to get here to arrest them, fine, but the ambulances will carry them away.
I think the Jewish community, they're like closet supporters. JDL does something, and they say, "Oh, it's terrible." And they run in the closet and say, "Yay!" That is the Jewish community.
We have not invited the Jewish Defense League to defend us. We will defend ourselves in a peaceful way.
Kahana.
How many times have we been told that violence is un-Jewish? I tell you as a rabbi that violence is terrible, but sometimes necessary.
JDL was really kicking into high gear.
Text over photos reads New York, Chicago.
Getting a national name, and they made a lot of news here in Los Angeles.
Washington, Los Angeles.
I said, if I don't do it now, I'm not going to do it, and I'll regret it. So I called JDL and said, I'm done with college, I'm working, I can devote some time to the organization that I feel does more than any other Jewish organization. And they gave me a 22 rifle. I had never seen a gun up close. They said, look how she groups her shots. I didn't know what grouping my shots meant, but I had a good eye. I couldn't wait to tell my mom and dad, did you ever shoot a gun? Why are you shooting guns? Oh, just for protection, Mom. And my mom probably just shook her head.
Young Shelley cradles a rifle under text, Shelley Rubin, 1980.
But to me, it was quite exciting. I hadn't known men like JDL men.
A news report shows Irv Rubin, Jewish Defense League.
We're not going to run to the telephone booth and dial LAPD, please help us, there's a raping going on, or there's a mugging going on. We're going to respond, and we're going to respond immediately.
The swastikas have been removed from the synagogue, and most of the paint cleaned up since Thursday, but the damages to the temple have created problems. In response to the incident, the Jewish community says it's united in its cause to defend and protect sacred property, but it's divided on how to go about it.
We will use whatever force is necessary to guard this house of worship. We're not going to cry anymore. We're not going to beg authorities anymore. We're going to guard our temple.
A still photo shows a long-faced man with a mustache. Text appears, Irv Rubin, JDL spokesman, Los Angeles chapter.
I had met Irv in a liquor store. I went in for a pack of cigarettes, and I said, aren't you Irv Rubin? And he said, yeah. And I said, oh, you do a wonderful job. And I got the heck out of there. He scared me. He totally scared me.
Irv appears in assorted programs.
Irv Rubin was the spokesman for JDL here in Los Angeles and a very public persona.
Shelley had leather boots up to here with high heels, so it made her a little taller.
Patty Arsvold, Shelley's friend. Boots,
and a cute little sweater. Shelley would knock your socks off. Well, she got to work at the JDL. Brought them her talents of, she knew computers, she knew numbers. I mean, she's an intelligent woman. She got involved right away, and Irv, of course, noticed her right away.
Photos show a bearded Irv in a wide-collared tracksuit, then Shelley in green bell-bottoms.
At the JDL office, it was noisy, and things were happening, and the phone would be ringing, and it was exciting. I wasn't dating anyone at the time. And then he pursued me. I remember the night that I agreed to go out with him. He just wrote a loving little note saying, I know I'm not worthy, but would you consider going out with me? And just so cute and humble and just a side that nobody else ever saw. Because he was this big, tough guy who was, you know, right in your face. And he won me over.
I just thought he was super.
Text appears, Iranian hostage crisis protest, 1980.
At this time in Iran, 50 Americans are still held captive, innocent victims of terrorism and anarchy.
Our first fight was when Irv didn't want me to go to the Iranian demonstration.
We plan to physically confront these people, and I mean that. We're not going there to turn the other cheek. We're going there to give them a taste of their own medicine.
This is how it began. About 15 Iranian demonstrators showed up at Wilshire and Santa Monica Boulevards despite the Beverly Hills police ban against their planned demonstration. A group of anti-Iranian protesters had already gathered. Irv Rubin of the Jewish Defense League began to taunt the Iranians.
Long live the Shah! Fight me, cowardly dogs! Fight me!
We're not going to take it anymore! We're America!
And that's when the trouble began.
This guy walks up to Irv, and Irv just clocked him. And then all hell broke loose.
Irv pummels a man on the ground.
Irv got arrested. Other people said, holy cow, this is a nut. He's crazy. But I said, this is a guy who's not afraid of anyone. This is a real man. And Rabbi Kahana saw he had found a diamond. Soon afterward, he felt that Irv was the right person to take over the LA chapter of JDL.
A photo shows Kahana gazing at Irv.
And I think he respected Irv very much and admired him. And I think Irv had proven himself as a very viable, very forceful, very dynamic leader.
A younger Fern Sidman is interviewed.
At this time in New York, Fern Sidman was JDL director. Fern is a fighter. Fern once threw someone through a plate glass window. She's fantastic.
The Arabs don't belong in the Jewish state.
So with the organization in good hands, Rabbi Kahana went to focus on his political aspirations in Israel.
Most here regard Mayor Kahana as a propaganda weapon of incalculable value to Israel's enemies.
Text reads Los Angeles, 1980.
This is a desecration of 6 million Jews who died in the Holocaust, and what they're doing is they're trying to tell us that they're going to do it again. This is a message that they want to get us, that they want to kill us, and whatever the cost may happen to be, let us get them before they get us.
Nazi graffiti fills a wall.
When I brought Irv home, my parents, they were thrilled. I guess my parents would have liked if he had gone to law school, but they accepted him for who he was because I loved him.
No, absolutely not. I don't think Herb and Gilda were ever very pleased with Irv. I think Shelley had to fight that uphill battle from the day she met him.
Patty shakes her head. Photos show Shelley and Irv's wedding day. Shelley's parents stand beside the bride, forcing smiles.
Did you consider the repercussions of marrying a man who regularly engages with violence?
I thought about it. I gave my relationship with Irv a lot of thought. But I felt that JDL was something I believed in. And then when I got to know my husband, I said, how perfect. He believes in the things that I believe in.
A shot shows bride and groom embracing.
He was not a hard man to care for. He had a soft heart, could talk about anything, any subject. It was never a conversation of Irv, talking about himself and his experiences.
Shelley inspects an album.
These are all the JDL guys at our wedding. It was lots of fun. Oh, that's the guy who went to prison. This is Bob Manning, who's serving a life sentence for murder. That's my dad. I think he was saying, are you still going to go through with it? Somebody was peeking in, and all of a sudden, all JDL ran out to see who was breaking into the wedding. It was so embarrassing.
The groom stands on a chair clapping as men hold it aloft.
Somehow, Shelley tried to have
Patty grins.
A traditional American family.
A headline reads, Irv Rubin, the tough-talking, gun-toting director of the Jewish Defense League, L.A.
When Irv and I first got married, this was our first little apartment, and it was not even a one-bedroom. It was a junior one-bedroom.
A newspaper photo shows the couple at home.
So I couldn't wait to get back into the action. And the Iran hostage crisis was still going on.
Israeli consulate protest, Los Angeles, 1980.
I hate to say it, but it might have been my time in the... Oh, yeah, it was. And I was just really, really worked up. And I saw these two guys go after one of our guys. I got involved, and I got myself arrested.
A newspaper photo shows Shelley being dragged off by police.
They made Irv wait so long to bail me out. And I got the phone call. Well, we're really worried about you. And Irv told my parents, I will never let this happen again. He gave me a severe talking to. He said, you did it on your own. You're not supposed to do that. In JDL, you do what I tell you to do, and you don't.
She waves a finger.
So from there, he just had me making signs for him. My other job was contacting the media, faxing. Faxing was very, very big then. But as far as being out there with him, he had other people to take with him. He didn't need his wife hanging around.
Earl Krugel, JDL senior member.
If you come up to me, I can use it across your face, in your gut, or come around like this on the back of your head.
Earl Krugel was a friend of Irv's who I didn't like. Not many people liked him. He was short, loud, and obnoxious, only surpassed by his brother Barry. And I always said, why do you like them? They are pigs, you know? And Irv said, you just don't understand. I've been with these guys for the last 10 years, and we've been in jail together, and...
She leans forward.
I don't have that many people who I can really count on.
Now Irv stands next to a wall with a swastika spray painted on it.
We're not up here to intimidate anybody or to scare anybody. We're out here to tell the world we're tired of this. This is hardcore anti-Semitism.
As proud as I was of him, because he was doing what I felt was the right thing to do, being Irv Rubin's wife was not an easy job. I was pregnant. He was all over the country.
When they come here and advocate the death of our people by supporting PLO policy, I'm not questioning their skin color. I'm questioning the politics of this black Nazi. I think the only solution for peace in the Middle East is Rabbi Kahana's plan.
And of course, while I was working at the JDL office, my water broke.
A hospital hallway.
It was very scary. My baby was premature. 4 pounds, 5 ounces. I was nuts in the hospital because I didn't know if he was going to live. I was a mess.
A sick baby's a big deal. And Shelley pretty much handled that on her own.
A headline reads, son born to JDL director and wife.
Once we were assured that he was going to be a healthy baby, it was wonderful. Irv looked into the isolette and said, you're a Jewish baby. You're a Jewish baby. My mom called. She said, I just watched Exodus. And do you know what Paul Newman's character's name is? Ari. Doesn't that sound great? And I said, Mom, that sounds wonderful.
Oh, what a dear boy Ari was. Curly-headed boy, the cutest thing you'd ever want to see in your life. And Shelley absolutely adored him. He was, you know, the sun rose and set with that boy.
Photos show a smiling Shelley hugging her son Ari, laughing, and Earl holding his rifle so the child can touch it.
Ari was less than 2 when Irv was arrested again on some stupid-ass charge.
A newspaper photo shows Irv being hauled away.
I'll never forget how that baby cried, how my Ari cried when his father was taken out of there in handcuffs. I was
very angry about that.
Back at the shooting range, Shelley fires and a shell casing tumbles to the ground. Then she turns toward the sun.
I just wish that in Irv's life, we would have come first, and then JDL.
Los Angeles, 1985, Irv appears on a TV show called Hot Seat.
I associate with all white nationalists, no matter what they belong to, and I don't ask Irv Rubin where to go. Well, he has a sane position on the Middle East, these parasites in Israel.
Okay. Oh, you're such a punk.
Come on, you're such a punk.
Don't you ever call parasites.
My husband, Irv Rubin, had a reputation.
You're all wet, Metzger.
His reputation was what was created in the media.
This is what took place even before the taping of the Hot Seat television show.
Guards try to restrain Irv.
He wanted that tough guy image. It was good for Jews. It was good for JDL.
Was it good for Ari to see his father on television like that?
A photo shows little Ari touching a TV.
It was thrilling and fun, and to me, they were always positive. I remember Irv saying to Ari, "What do we do to Nazis?" And Ari would go,
Shelley punches the air.
Irv loved that.
Photos show curly-haired young Ari holding a fist up, then his father and Kahana doing the same.
I absolutely agree with Meir Kahana that it's very important for Jewish strength to become part of the Jewish calculus. Look, the Holocaust reflected the failure of Jewish strength. Jews were moral, educated, lived good lives, but we didn't have the strength to prevent a tyrant from killing us. So Jewish strength is very important to me. Military strength of Israel, political strength in the United States, economic strength, moral strength, academic strength, physical strength to protect ourselves and defend ourselves, but not bullies, not going around being vigilantes, not using the tactics against others that have been used against us.
Kahana waves a finger.
Arab guns will never be in Judea and Samaria, and if I have anything to do with it, and I will, Arabs won't be there either.
Rabbi Kahana was the person Irv admired the most. He was very dedicated to his people, to his cause, but Rabbi Kahana was gearing up to run for Knesset in Israel, and he needed to break off from JDL. He was stepping down, and he wanted Irv to lead the organization.
Text reads, Kahana chooses JDL's successor.
It was pretty exciting for Irv.
Militant group finds new leader.
Rabbi Kahana's fundraising and his base of support was here in the United States. So he would come at least a couple times a year to speak and to make press so he could get money to run for the Knesset in Israel. Sometimes things happened here when he was here. He wasn't doing them. We weren't doing them.
Headlines read, bloody bombing at Nazi home and bomb hits home of man who calls Holocaust myth.
You said things, Shelley. What do you mean by things? And how is Rabbi Kahana involved?
If Rabbi Kahana were in the United States when something happened of a militant nature that had to do with Jews, he was right there to comment.
Three JDL members seized in bombings.
What the problem was is that it attracted the eyes of the authorities.
FBI says Jewish Defense League may have planted fatal bombs.
And then Rabbi Kahana goes back to Israel and Irv is left to clean it up.
Detective John Coyle, LAPD Terrorism Task Force.
The JDL started out innocently enough, just protecting Jewish neighborhoods. They kind of escalated over the years, and their acts became more and more violent.
Tear gas disrupts Soviet dancers in performance at Lincoln Center.
Someone on behalf of the JDL took credit for the gas bomb. And I think of the JDL as I do the PLO or any other terrorist group, the scum of the earth.
1985.
The Italian cruise liner, the Achille Lauro, is the latest target of international terrorism.
After a 72-hour siege at sea, negotiations among the PLO, Italy, and Egypt succeed in getting the Achille Lauro back to Egypt. There, the four terrorists surrender the ship. At first, the world is led to believe that no one is harmed, so the Palestinians are promised safe passage out of Egypt. But the next day, the truth is learned. The murder of a 69-year-old disabled passenger from New York City angers America.
Reagan.
What we want is justice done.
These filthy dogs took this poor man in his wheelchair and threw him overboard. We were horrified. What did the man do? They knew he was a Jew. And people have to realize that the enemies of the Jewish people will go to whatever lengths they can do to kill Jews.
Shards of glass cover the street outside a building.
Less than 24 hours after he went on television to praise PLO leader Yasser Arafat, a U.S. citizen of Palestinian heritage was killed today.
Mary Hogan, special agent, FBI.
It was a tripwire device. I can't get into any details because it's a pending investigation.
The explosion rocked the building housing the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee's office. The regional director, Alex Oda, later died in a hospital. Just last night, Oda had been interviewed on television commenting on the Achille Lauro hijackers.
A headline reads, Reagan calls Santa Ana bombing heinous act.
I believe it was City News Service who called to get Irv's reaction. And Irv said, listen, we've been crying for Leon Klinghoffer. Our tear ducts are dry.
On the morning of the bomb went off in Santa Ana, I was working a surveillance on another matter altogether, and the JDL did call the Santa Ana Police Department and claim responsibility for it. We were pulled off of that surveillance, and we were put on JDL individuals locally to keep tabs on them. Law enforcement began to look at the Jewish Defense League as a criminal enterprise.
JDL linked to assassination.
They were trying to nail JDL as they had always tried to nail JDL from its inception. I mean, JDL was a nuisance to the FBI.
I don't know who in the FBI it was, but someone made the statement that JDL is now a designated terrorist organization. Irv called a press conference. Put up or shut up. If JDL had anything to do with that bombing,
Shelley points her finger.
Make an arrest.
Irving Rubin, don't you think you ought to be the last person in the world to be condemning terrorism in view of the record of the Jewish Defense League?
I would like you to show me, specifically tell me where I am a terrorist or where Jewish Defense League have involved in terrorist actions. I've never had a felony conviction. So don't tell me that I'm a terrorist. I think that's a stupid question.
Just a minute. I'm not talking about you, but the Jewish Defense League is a terrorist organization.
I represent the Jewish Defense League, and I resent the label that we're terrorists.
Uh-huh.
Show me a conviction.
Shelley shakes her head.
Irv was the kind of person who would get in your face. He was the kind of person who could knock you out, but he wouldn't blow you up. And that's the difference. That's what they do. That's not what we do.
A photo shows Ari smiling.
At this time, Ari was going to a private school in Pasadena. Also in attendance was the son of a female cantor from some Reform synagogue in Hollywood. The woman had a Hanukkah party and invited all the Jewish kids at the school except for my son.
She glares angrily.
Ari said, why? And I said, it's not your problem. It's her problem. She has a problem with us.
Text reads, Mordechai Levy, ex-JDL member.
Soon afterward, Irv went to New York with a friend of his, and they saw Levy, a Jewish nutcase. He thought Irv was not doing enough against the neo-Nazis.
A shot of Levy yelling.
Levy starts shooting at Irv. And Levy shot an innocent man sitting in his car.
That was really very scary to me. I was really worried about Irv. He came very, very close to being killed. Baruch Hashem, you know, he managed to get out unscathed.
Headlines read, JDL wasn't militant enough for Levy, and sniper siege in East Village.
I didn't hide things from Ari. And I said, Levy tried to kill Daddy, but Daddy's okay. Daddy's okay.
A photo shows father and son smiling.
With Ari exposed to JDL and politics and the seriousness of things in his young days, I think...
Shelley's eyes scan the ceiling of her living room.
Yeah, if I had to do over again, I think I wouldn't have burdened his little head.
She brushes a hand under one eye.
I said, Irv, we've got to get a little bit of protection here. So we started locking our back gate. We got an alarm system, and I always knew where there was a gun in case my husband wasn't there and I needed protection.
Pictures show Shelley and her mom holding Ari, then the child sitting on Irv's lap.
Considering your upbringing, would you ever have imagined a life like this?
Home movies show young Shelley swimming, wearing an elegant dress, and unwrapping a TV set.
You're right. I came from a very comfortable lifestyle and with expectations that it would just continue.
She scratches her head.
Go figure.
Text reads, Hara Aller Khan, Shelley's cousin.
When she became part of Irv's life, Shelley became a different person. She was very different. Wasn't the same cousin I grew up with. There'd be times when I'd go over with my cousin and we'd get to her house and there would be swastika stickers on her garage door. And there would be broken glass. There would be broken windows. My mom and dad would just say, you're not allowed to go over there. It's a very dangerous situation.
If you're married to someone who loves what they do and you're part of their life, that's the way it is.
Patty spreads her arms.
And Shelley knew that going in. She knew what she was coming to. That nuisance didn't move into her neighborhood, okay? She moved there.
All is dark. A photo shows men cradling a bloody body, New York, 1990.
A gunman in New York last night assassinated Meir Kahana, the fiery rabbi who founded the Jewish Defense League and advocated driving all Arabs from Israel. And today, in the occupied West Bank, two elderly Palestinians were gunned down, apparently by a Jewish settler acting in retaliation for the killing of Kahana.
The 58-year-old Brooklyn-born rabbi was shot in the neck at a New York hotel last night, moments after speaking to a Zionist group. His gunman ran to the street, seizing a taxi before being stopped by an angry mob and shot and wounded by a postal policeman.
Someone from the media called Irv and told him, and Irv said, are you sure? Are you sure? Could this be a mistake? We never thought that anything would happen to the rabbi.
News footage shows the rabbi waving.
Thousands filled the streets outside of Brooklyn Synagogue this afternoon as calls for vengeance echoed in a crowd that came to show its grief.
Certainly revenge is the order of the day, and certainly punishment is the order of the day. I hope it comes, and I'm sure it will come.
Huge crowds surround Kahana's coffin.
You know, in some respects, even though I disagreed with the means he used, he was a martyr, and his death was not justified. And the acquittal initially of the person who killed him was an abuse of justice.
Authorities say his gunman is Egyptian-born El Said Nosser.
Nosser stares glassy-eyed from his mugshot.
Did you know the FBI found proof that this man had direct links with Osama bin Laden?
Absolutely.
And that Kahana's assassination was al-Qaeda's first operation in the U.S.?
Oh, if this country had given a damn about Rabbi Kahana being murdered, 9/11 would definitely not have happened because all these bastards would be behind bars.
A headline reads, Man acquitted in Kahana death.
Jewish leaders these days aren't taking any chances, and authorities say they shouldn't.
1994.
Buenos Aires, July 18th. A terrorist bomb at a Jewish community center kills 95 people. 10 days later, another bomb blast, this time in London. 17 people injured at the Israeli embassy there. And just last week, here in Los Angeles, the bomb squad was called to the Israeli consulate to search a suspicious car for explosives. No bomb was found, but it's clear all the attacks have put LA's Jewish community on edge.
The most important lesson we learned from the last few days is Argentina Jewry and British Jewry and Panama Jewry weren't ready for such an attack. We want to be ready.
So he says the JDL is changing its way of doing business.
What's changed for us is a more security conscious type format to make sure that your environment is safe.
Irv recognized that the JDL had to make some changes. The JDL had to get rid of this crazy Meyer Kahana hangover and move into the next millennium. And Irv was, I think, getting ready to do that.
A headline says JDL's new patrol.
In the 90s, the pendulum went the other way and things were quieter for JDL. It was a good time. Irv spent more time with us. Irv wasn't the kind of father who would say, go get a football, we'll throw the football. But he was a dad who said, let's get our guns and go shooting. We just had a nice little family when we were all together. It was lovely.
Photos show a plane crashing into the World Trade Center, then explosions and plumes of smoke billowing up. A headline dated September 12th reads, Terrorists Attack New York, Pentagon.
Irv was tremendously, tremendously affected. He was a basket case like the rest of us. I mean, he was upset. He was angry. He was glued to the TV. I mean, we all were. I think every American was. But Irv took it very profoundly because, as I said, America meant a lot to Irv.
I speak for everybody who loves this country.
After 9/11, people wanted to talk to him and interview him, and he was going back and forth. I mean, he was constantly in demand, getting a national name, and it was time for him to move on. I wasn't screaming at him to leave JDL or anything like that. It was just that other opportunities were coming up that he wouldn't be able to give all his time to the league. And then it was all taken away from us on one night.
Text appears, Los Angeles, November 11th, 2001.
Shortly after the 9/11 attack, the JDL decided that they had to respond.
In the immediate aftermath of 9/11, you know, conspiracy theorists said Israel's behind this. Irv was very concerned. Irv was very concerned. We were all very concerned.
Fern shakes her head.
My husband walked into the kitchen and he said, don't scream. I have to have dinner with Earl tonight. He wasn't seeing much of Earl at all because all these things are going on in Irv's life and he doesn't have time for Earl. He said, I just have to see him one more time. I promise you, I'm not going to see him anymore.
Detective Coyle.
We learned early on that they were going to enter into a conspiracy to retaliate. They kept changing their mind on who they were going to bomb. The Muslim Public Affairs Council in Los Angeles, to the King Fahd Mosque, to Congressman Issa's office.
Shelley squints.
Bomb a mosque? Is that what they said? Bomb a congressman's office? Come on.
It was a 12-inch by 2-inch pipe nipple. They had already obtained the end caps. They had the fuse already. And all they needed was the gunpowder.
Special Agent Hogan jumps in.
The SWAT team, the FBI SWAT team, took down Earl. He had weapons in every room, loaded weapons in every room.
And then once Earl was in custody, we notified the LAPD surveillance team, and Irv was arrested en route back to his home.
It was the scariest night of my life. The FBI stormed into the place. they just open everything.
Footage shows the FBI going room to room.
They were going through every picture looking for, I don't know what they, who they were looking for. My son had a chemistry set. Oh, it was like they thought we were making, you know, that was all ripped open. It was just a kid's chemistry set.
Officers carry a box of rifles from a house.
You feel cold, like you don't have, like you're just a shell of a person. Like your whole world has just come apart.
Federal authorities say they have headed off a plot by Jewish extremists.
Earl Krugel and Irv Rubin have been charged with attempting to bomb a Southern California mosque and the office of California Arab American Congressman Daryl Issa.
One of my friends had called me to tell me, isn't that your cousin, Irv Rubin, isn't he your cousin? And I said, yes, why? And they said, oh, you know, he's all over the TV.
According to the complaint, Rubin said the JDL needed to let people know that they are alive in a militant way.
I was devastated, you know, because I saw Ray. This wasn't just an in-and-out thing that, you know, they were trying to really nail Irv to the wall.
A photo shows Irv, Shelley, and little Ari smiling.
I sat Ari down in front of me and I said, whatever is going to happen, Daddy's going to have a good lawyer. We're going to take care of this. Don't worry about anything. Innocent people get arrested all the time.
Teenage Ari stares glumly from a photograph.
After the arrest, of course, Ari was doing his best to be supportive and yet being a very young man who was going...
Patty shrugs.
Why is Dad arrested?
My husband's not doing well. Conditions aren't good in the federal prison. He hasn't been convicted of a crime.
A desperate plea from the wife of Irv Rubin outside the Roybal Federal Courthouse. Inside, Rubin and Earl Krugel both enter not guilty pleas and waive the reading of the federal indictment against them.
Courtroom sketches set the scene.
Shelley told me Irv was in prison for a year leading up to his trial and that he was in solitary confinement.
They were breaking him down, without a doubt. During his incarceration, there were times when he was very bleak.
Patty gazes up through her glasses.
He would express that to Shelley, and Shelley had to deal with it. I'm sorry.
She fans her eyes.
Because Shelley had to be the one who not only kept Irv together, she had to come out and keep herself and then keep the JDL together.
Headlines read, Jewish militant Rubin faces toughest test. The JDL leader has a history of being jailed and then freed, and prosecutors allege Rubin linked to past bombings.
The lawyer said, you gotta let this go real quiet.
A photo of the couple is captioned, Shelley Rubin is a strong defender of her husband.
Probably the worst place a Jew can find himself is in prison. You have neo-Nazis. You have Muslims who don't like Jews either, you know. You have disturbed people, people you don't want to live next door to. And now they're in the same room with you. Irv lost a tremendous amount of weight. And I don't know, the last time I saw him...
She swallows.
His breathing was labored. He was...
Irv Rubin, leader of the Jewish Defense League, has died today as a result of injuries sustained from a fall in prison.
A newspaper sketch depicts Irv's fall from a walkway.
When she was called to the hospital, he was unrecognizable. He'd hit the ground so hard, you didn't even know it was Irv.
An article notes Irv's family disputes the government's story that he slashed his throat and jumped.
Shelley was getting angry and would tell me that he was set up, they pushed him, they killed him.
A headline reads, Rubin's lawyers seek probe into fall.
It was not a murder, as other people have alleged. It was not an inside job. It wasn't conducted by white supremacists. It was a suicide.
Hogan shakes her head.
Taking one's own life is in violation of Jewish law.
I've always been somewhat suspicious of the official reports surrounding the death of Irv Rubin.
Shelley stares down at the floor.
I think when Irv died, I was angry. And sad, of course.
She shakes her head slowly from side to side, and tears roll down both her cheeks as she sighs and looks up toward the ceiling. A headline in a Pasadena newspaper reads, Rubin remembered. More than 175 attend service for JDL leader. Text appears, Los Angeles, November 2002.
Why do you think Shelley took over as JDL president?
At a time when they had lost their leader and they needed some kind of organization, somebody to speak, I guess Shelley would have been the right person to do that.
A shot shows mourners gathered at Irv's gravesite.
After Irv died, Earl, while he was in federal custody, said, I will say whatever you want. And it panned out that Earl was a snake at the very end.
Earl implicates Rubin.
They transferred him to some federal facility in Arizona, and a neo-Nazi took a cinder block and killed him. He didn't even know that it happened.
A photo from Shelley's wedding shows Earl and Irv grinning joyfully.
I was left with nothing. Nothing but a lot of creepy people. Guys who thought JDL should be like the mafia. I probably should have...
She makes a pushing motion.
Left JDL.
A photo shows adult Ari at his dad's funeral.
The only reason why I stepped up was because Ari wanted to keep JDL going. Ari said that it was what his father would have wanted.
A shot shows Ari wearing a JDL t-shirt and holding his fist up.
Through my husband's arrest and his death, Ari graduated from college magna cum laude.
2009.
And I know too many of the negatives. I would like Ari to be doing something else, truthfully. If Ari wants to take that position, I'll happily step down and help in some other way. I have no problem with that. This is not an organization of egos. We are people who just want to do what's right. You know?
And we've paid far more than we could have gained throughout the course of everything we've experienced, and my mom has been through a considerable amount, as have the rest of us, but it's been particularly hard for her to lose my father, and for her to go through various aspects of the emotional difficulties that come with this lifestyle.
And Ari doesn't like me to mention it, but I get, you know, you get threats, you get perverts who send you disgusting things in the mail.
If the threats and the missives ever materialize into violent behavior, that we'll be more than ready to defend ourselves with
He nods his round head.
All they have to do is come to our home. That's all anyone has to do is come to our home.
Not that we're trigger happy.
I'm not challenging anyone to a fight. I mean, you'd have to be a complete psycho moron to think you were going to do harm, to us like that.
Mother and son shoot targets at a range.
In JDL, our words of wisdom are, for every Jew, a .22. My husband used to like to say, Jews keep alive with a .45.
JDL gun training.
You can either cower in a basement and be fearful your entire life, or you can live your life and be proud. And if you're going to be a proud person and a proud Jew, there will be a corresponding rise in Jew hatred. But we're prepared to be hated. We'd rather be hated than dead as a people.
After Irv died, it got very hard to hold the organization together, but we did. And with Ari and me, we could get stuff done.
Shut the fuck up!
Mother and son protest.
The Shelley of today is different from the Shelley of before, and she's certainly different from the Irv.
Which story is yours? Honey?
Shelley knocks a woman over.
Shelley, I think, has gotten angry. Angrier than Irv got.
How's that?
She spews hatred.
Hari uses a megaphone. Now a car speeds down a freeway toward the L.A. skyline. Ari's chubby hand grips the wheel.
You don't get rich being a Jewish activist. When I was growing up, one of the things that was a pretty constant issue in our house was lack of money. My grandmother has been in poor physical health for quite a while, and in the last few weeks, she's just exhibited a substantial decline in her mental faculties. My grandparents were a huge positive force for us financially, but it's so much more than that. I mean, it's not just the finances. She's just a wonderful woman and the best grandmother that I could ever ask for, so it's difficult, very hard.
He drops his bearded face forward. Now he looks at a laptop, a cell phone to his ear.
Ari took on the responsibilities of running JDL on his own.
Come on, pick up.
The problem was when my mom got sick, I couldn't give my time. I didn't hold up my side.
We're working to change that. It's not as problematic as you may assume.
It was hard for Ari. Because after Irv died, the government put a lot of pressure on people who were donors to JDL.
And we are working to get JDL New York back together. So
he didn't want to let down his family. He didn't want to let down his mom, and he did the right thing. He was a mensch.
Thank you very much. Shalom, shalom.
Is Ari JDL leadership material? I don't know what it takes to lead the JDL, because I don't know where the JDL thinks it's going. I don't know, as an organization, if it still has a life.
Ari, do you feel that JDL is still relevant?
I believe that JDL is as relevant today, if not more so, than it's ever been in its 40-year history, because the threats that are faced by our people from the local scale up to the international have perhaps never been as brazen.
Text appears, JDL Canada. Protesters waving Israeli flags clash with motorcyclists. A man wearing a JDL shirt ends up on his knees. Text reads, JDL England, then JDL Germany. A German poster translates into, if you're a Nazi, you'll have problems. Graffiti on a doorway says, gas the Arabs, JDL, under text reading, JDL, Israel.
Jewish people have often found themselves the target of hatred and physical intimidation, but it seems the bullied have become the bullies, at least for one extremist group, the Jewish Defense League.
JDL, France. Police in riot gear try to control a rampaging crowd.
We are here, present. We are Jews, noble and cruel. We are well-trained and well-equipped. We're not afraid. Our enemies should be more afraid of us than we are of them.
Now, Ari stands on a hilltop, gazing at the valley below him and the ocean beyond.
I'm not my father. I cannot rival his greatness as a JDL leader, and I'm not Rabbi Kahana. I can't rival his greatness. I have other goals in mind for my life, but I feel a responsibility to grow into the leader that I want to be. But it's hard.
He stares off, rocking forward and back slightly. A photographic portrait shows Ari's unsmiling grandmother in profile.
After my mom passed away, there was an inherited IRA that was distributed. Ari is to take care of all those things. This is what he loved to do. It made him happy. So the first 3 months of 2012, whatever he was doing in trading doubled
more than doubled my money.
Shelley raises her eyebrows.
But sometimes things go up and sometimes they go down. He said, it's all gone. I lost it all.
Up on the hill, Ari leans on a rail as the sun sets.
I said, so what? I don't care.
The bearded young man stares into the distance as daylight fades. Now, Shelley walks toward her suburban home.
And one day, the doorbell rang. And I opened the door, and the first thing I saw was a car on the street that said coroner. I think it was one shot to the head, .38 caliber.
She nods gently, then leans her cheek against a fist and shakes her head, her brow furrowed. At a gravesite, she arranges multiple bouquets of flowers.
He only wanted, you know, us to have a good life. And that's why he gambled my inherited IRA. And he couldn't live with himself.
Shelley cleans a simple grave marker with Ari Rubin written in block letters.
Jeez. I can't believe I'm here. This is just a temporary headstone. I'm going to have to decide what to put on Ari's headstone. I don't know if it will include mention of JDL. I'm not sure.
Irv's large headstone looms to her right as she wipes dirt off Ari's marker. Inside the funeral home.
Now here for Irv, obviously it says Jewish Defense League chairman. Obviously Ari wasn't. Uh-huh. Do you want to fill something in like that line to kind of match up lines?
Well, what I wanted was something different. I just was wondering if we could say something like something that he was a mensch, you know.
How about he was such a mensch, always wanted to do the right thing? That really speaks about him.
The heavyset funeral home worker gazes sympathetically across a table at Shelley.
Put that down, please.
He puts on reading glasses and begins to write. Now a group of people gather by folding chairs set up in a cemetery. Shelley hugs a gray-haired man wearing a JDL t-shirt.
Have a seat. I think we should start because everybody is going to melt.
Patty squints in the bright sunshine. The gray-haired man sits next to Shelley as someone pulls a white sheet aside, revealing Ari's headstone.
Ari Ephraim Ben
Israel
David Shalach Lolamon Bavor Shekri Neder Yodim Yitzchadar Skadron Yishmator.
Later, Shelley shakes her head.
What I regret was that they were alone. If they had to die, I'm sorry they were alone. Because neither of them liked to be alone.
At the gravesite, she adds a small rock to other stones balanced on her son's headstone. Irv's headstone stands right beside Ari's and is also adorned with stones. Irv Rubin's headstone features the JDL symbol, a raised fist inside a Jewish star. Back at Shelley's home, photo albums sit in a pile.
We hope that one learns through one's experiences, and that's why now I know it's time to pass JDL on.
Her eyes move slowly around her living room. On the floor nearby, plastic and cardboard boxes full of record albums are lined in a row.
It's the end of the Reuben dynasty, and I'm waiting for that Messiah.
Now she stands outside her suburban home, which is partly covered in a stone veneer.
There's times where I would like to get Shelley and shake her and say, do you realize what has happened in your entire life?
Hara bows her head.
She'll smile and make you think everything's okay and life is good and she's happy and she's peaceful. There can't be any peace inside of her. That's got to be an internal hell that she's living in.
Shelley gazes ruefully at her house, then walks over, raises the hatchback of her mid-sized SUV, and puts a duffel bag inside. Now behind the wheel, she turns the key. She drives off down a residential street lined with towering palm trees.
You know, when you're persecuted, it's very hard to be strong. And the Jews of America, the Jews of Israel, the Jews of many parts of the world today are strong, and we've accomplished a great deal. We're a very significant percentage of scientists and doctors and lawyers. We have really achieved enormous amounts when we've been free. And we didn't do it as a result of Meir Kahane. I would love somebody to look at the history of the young people who joined Meir Kahane's Jewish Defense League and how many of them ultimately succeeded and contributed to American life. There must be some, but I bet a lot of them did not.
At the end of the day, we stood up for our people. Whether you or anyone else liked it or disliked it, it's part of history. And the reason you're sitting here interviewing me and not a member of SSSJ and B'nai B'rith is because of what we did do and what, not because of what we didn't do.
Shelley stares at the road ahead as she drives.
I look back at my life. I say to myself, what would happen if Irv and I didn't get married? I wouldn't have had my Ari. No, that doesn't work. I would not go back. I was true to myself. I didn't go against my principles. And I have no trouble sleeping at night.
Shelley rolls her way down a busy freeway toward distant, cloud-shrouded mountains, her strawberry blonde hair blowing in the wind, streaming through the open window of her SUV. Her car disappears from view, cut to black. Text appears. Today, the Jewish Defense League has over 1,000 members in 9 countries. The JDL is still listed as a terrorist organization in the United States and Israel. At completion of this film, Shelley Rubin was still president of the JDL in the United States. Writer, director, and producer, Jeff Daniels. Producer, Lizette Atkins. Editors Brian Mason, Tony Stevens, ASE, Simon Price. Original music by Dale Cornelius, copyright 2016 Native Tongue Music Publishing, Proprietary Limited. Production managers Kate Breen, Christina Pazan, Celeste Gear. Post-production supervisors Elizabeth Amiel, Celeste Gear. Script editor Dennis Smith. Development manager Dean O'Flaherty. Cinematographer Jimmy Hammond. Camera operators Jimmy Hammond, Thomas Lowe, Zach Driscoll, Matthew Pappas, Jason Wareau, Rob Givens, Eric Curtis, Zelmyra Gainza, Daniel Larecki, Ludovic Petho, Jan Guerin, Jeff Daniels. More credits roll. Logos Appear. Produced by Unicorn Films and Common Room Productions. Deluxe Heartbeat Fund. Financed with the assistance of Australian Government, Screen Australia. Copyright Unicorn Films Proprietary Limited and Screen Australia.